Hey, Guilty Familia. We recorded this episode a few months back when we were still testing out the show format, so if the structure's a little different, maybe a little bit, that's why, kinda. Anyway, we hope you love and enjoy this episode, and join us next week when Lana Condor will be on the show. Wow, what exciting times! Vin and Lana and Keith. Enjoy!
Ramble.
Hello and welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the podcast that loves what it loves. I'm your host, Zach Kornfeld, joined as always by Kelsey Darren and Garrick Bernard. Today, we are joined by Keith Haversberger to talk, to defend his favorite movie, one of them, Baby's Day Out. Had you guys ever seen Baby's Day Out?
Nope, never heard of it.
Oh no, were you so pissed?
I was not pissed, I was delighted. Oh. To have watched this movie.
I'd say the first watch is the best watch. Every subsequent watch.
Yeah.
As you're not, when you're not a 6-year-old, not as good.
Yeah. I was sitting down, I was watching it, and then my roommate came in and he was just like, oh, this is a movie about a baby, huh? You just watching movies about babies?
I was like,
yeah.
Creep.
Yeah, man. And then he sat down and like as he's doing work, he kept looking up and he's like, this movie's phenomenal. I love this movie. And I was
God.
Yeah, no, we had like a whole discussion about it after the movie. And like we looked up a couple things that you'll probably get into later.
Well, if people don't know, and if you don't know, this is a John Hughes movie.
Yeah. Had you seen it before?
I had seen this movie 100 times approximately.
Yes.
Wow. So much so that I told my sister I was watching. I was like, oh my God, you won't believe what I'm about to watch for like an assignment. And she was like
my homework.
Texting me like, the parts as they would come. She's like, remember that part? Oh my God, that was fucking crazy. But I will say, Keith, you're right. I had my expectations super duper high. Yeah. And then when I watched it, it was kind of like, why the fuck did I like this so much as a child?
I think the bare bones of it are very enjoyable, right? Three creeps getting hurt. Hilarious.
Love it. Right. I love a
cute
creep.
Shots of a baby looking back at them getting hurt and giggling.
Yeah.
Because a baby loves, he's a sociopath. He loves violence.
Yeah.
That's what baby it is. Baby fucking gets so hard from violence.
Yeah.
He loves that shit.
That first scene, he's like, wait, see if he likes it when you get hit too. And then he does, like, yeah, he still likes it.
Yeah. Right.
The synopsis. Posing as baby photographers, a group of common criminals kidnap Baby Bink, the new baby of the richest socialites you ever did see, and demand a $5 million ransom for his return. But when the baby escapes, these criminals are sent on a wild Three Stooges-esque goose chase to track down and recapture their abductee as he reenacts scenes from his favorite picture book, including a trip to the zoo, a construction site, and more building ledges than any baby should ever be around ever.
Fantastic film. A childhood favorite of mine. Following such great footsteps as Home Alone, and perhaps you've heard of Home Alone 2. I would say, should I describe why I like it?
Well, what?
What do I talk about? I love it. It's ridiculous. It's Mr. Magoo, but Mr. Magoo's a baby, and it's Home Alone 2, but it's in Chicago, and basically the baby is not making any of these bad things happen to these people. They're just happening to these people, and there's also a baby there. It's just like Home Alone. The family is completely unlikable in the first scene. You feel no pity for them when the baby is stolen. I don't know why they make them so unlikable. I rewatching, I was like, wow, these people suck. Also, $5 million is nothing compared to where they're living. Mm. Their house is crazy. Their house is out of control. $5 million has to be nothing. If I were them, I wouldn't call the police because there's no way they're getting all that riches legally. No. They've got to be part of some crime organization. They are so out of this world wealthy. It's a great movie through and through. There's gorillas. There's construction.
For too long. Many people
fall into dumpsters. And you got a baby the whole time, an adorable baby.
And this is coming after Home Alone. And this movie basically posits, what if Home Alone, instead of having a conniving child, had an oblivious, death-defying baby, and instead of sort of killing the bad guys, we're gonna absolutely massacre them repeatedly.
Yeah.
This movie has... In the first act, someone falls off a 3-story building. Mm-hmm. Then in the climax, someone falls 15 stories, and then they top it by someone falling 30 stories. Then someone falls off an entire skyscraper and survives.
And at some point, they just fall into a pit. And we don't know how deep that pit is. They all willingly dive into a pit.
Yeah.
A pit! There's just a pit in Chicago.
There was a note that I wrote talking about that this has the most incredible practical effects I've seen in a movie.
It's got some good practical effects.
I wrote the order of hit by board twice, falls down roof, hits balls on air conditioning unit, hits bird feeder with face, slips off and stabbed by a TV antenna into a garbage dump. And that's the first really big practical effect.
Wow.
That's the first one, the first sequence.
Yeah.
So you watched this a ton as a kid.
Yes.
I also have a personal connection to this movie, so I was thrilled that you picked it. But Keith, first I want to know, what does this movie mean to you?
I don't know if we rented it all the time or if we just owned it, but I watched the fuck out of this movie.
Yes, why did we do that?
I don't know. I think, so I also was a big fan of the Rugrats.
Yeah.
So maybe I just have an obsession with baby-related adventures.
Yeah.
There's something so charming to a baby in places a baby shouldn't be.
Yeah.
The baby shouldn't be in a gorilla cage. Yeah. The baby shouldn't be crawling through traffic, but yeah, there he is. It's something that brought me joy as a child. It made me laugh. It was very digestible plot for a child. And I also loved Home Alone. So for me, I think it was just really filling that Home Alone vibe. And I don't know, I rented it and I watched it a ton as a kid. So when I was thinking about what I liked, I'd actually just a month ago stumbled on it because it's on HBO, and I was like, let's watch it. And
okay,
I watched
HBO.
It with Becky, and I was like, yeah, this is still good. This holds up. So I was like, we should watch it for this thing. And then I was watched it last week, and I was like, all right, well, maybe not as amazing as I thought, but still lots of laughs, lots of great moments. I will say, I know we'll get to my favorite moment later, but the Mary Had a Little Lamb, I mean, have you ever heard a better rendition of Mary Had a Little Lamb in your life?
I have a question.
I'll sing it for you later.
Is it Ray Romano?
No.
No.
It's not
You're
Ray Romano.
You're terrible with actors.
No, I'm bad.
But I know it's not Ray Romano.
It's not Ray
Romano.
You
got in the main cast. It's a who's who.
You got
who
the guy
of,
from The Matrix.
Oh, that guy.
Guy from
yeah,
the Matrix.
Joe Pantoliano.
Where I truly believe this is The Matrix.
I was thinking maybe.
It is the same movie. It is literally the prequel to The Matrix. This is what he was doing before he took the blue pill and found out.
I love it so much. And because the one thing I remember from this movie, I remember two things. One, baby in a gorilla cage. Two, he sings this hilarious version of Mary Had a Little Lamb where he's getting half of the lyrics wrong. But the one that like tickled me as a child, I thought it was a brilliant joke, was she followed her to work one day, work one day, work one day. She followed her to work one day. And Mary lost her job. And I thought as a child, that's a fucking brilliant joke.
Yeah.
And it was probably one of the first comedy songs I heard as a child. And I'm a comedy musician now.
Hits.
So maybe it had something to do with that. But like I was like, you could change the lyrics to be funnier.
That makes so much sense to me because I watched this movie as a ton as a kid and I hit my balls on things all the time.
We know about your ball incident, Zach. Never forget your twisted ball.
Twisted testicles.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, go over to my personal podcast and listen to Zach Kornfeld's episode about almost losing his balls.
You know, I will tell you from experience, the things that these people are doing, ruptured testicles, broken spine, exploded spleens, they should be so fucked up.
So dead.
The gorilla scene alone. They
okay, can I just, I can't keep talking about the gorilla scene without saying one thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's too fucking long.
Every scene is too long.
The movie. I actually fell asleep.
I was there on weighted breath, just looking at it, just hoping that this was longer. I wanted them to get hit three more times.
I fell asleep
and woke up and it was still the gorilla scene. And like in my brain, I was like, maybe this was just like a fucking violent turn and it'll grab the baby by the ankle, fucking shake it and smash it again. I just was like hoping for anything else.
So when I watched it back, the first time a month ago, I was like, oh, wow, it's the gorilla scene. We're almost at the end of the movie. Because when you're there, you're like, what could possibly come after a baby in a gorilla cage? And there's so much more that happens after that. I mean, the kids already crawled across like Lakeshore Drive, presumably, in Chicago. It's crawled across like six lanes of traffic. No problem.
Yep.
And like you think like, well, this must be it. I think every scene is like this could be the end of the movie. Mm. It's so intense.
Die.
Because like they get so hurt. They're like, well, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not.
I think we should acknowledge for anyone that hasn't seen it because the listeners are, I think, a little bit younger. Your audience demographics are a little bit younger.
Audience.
Sorry, excuse me. I am a part of this now. is that This movie
is pre-Harambe. Yes.
Yeah.
Pre-Harambe.
Very important to note.
They would have shot the gorilla and
post
saved the baby.
King Kong, though, which I was like, this is trying very hard, but it could never happen today because of cell phones. Everyone would be looking down at their phones, therefore would see a baby scooting by, which whatever jeans those babies was wearing, like, should win an award because those things held together the entire thing. I mean, that baby was crawling through
jeans,
nails, dust, fucking goop. I mean, who knows what else. But everyone was, like, looking up at each other. There was once upon a time where people looked each other in the eye and talked to each other when they were walking down the street.
I'm not going to...
Yeah, like, the baby got away with everything because it was like, no one's noticing a baby crawling around.
Literally nobody looked down
the entire time.
I'm not going to say that I'm better than the people in this movie, but I think I would notice a baby crawling down the city street.
The entire city
I would notice it only
Chicago.
Because I kicked it.
Like, I think that's the violence I was looking for.
The only one that's totally... impossible is the baby crossing the road.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
None of those cars saw the baby.
Right.
Because that is a time where you can't look at your phone and drive. It's very hard. Some people try.
Not in LA.
But you shouldn't.
Or if you own a Tesla.
But like I would excuse like a baby crawling into a big woman's bag as like weird. I would mistake, you know, I maybe would be like, oh, that baby on that bus probably was somebody on the bus. Mm-hmm. And I would have made these assumptions. But the baby in the road.
Can't do that one.
But you have to be careful. Depending on who you are, you can't just walk up to a baby and be like, I found this. I, maybe as a white woman, could be like, oh my gosh, poor baby. Garrick's not picking that baby up on the street and being like, I found this baby.
There was a whole Blackish scene where there was a baby in an elevator and then everybody opened the elevator and just like, nah.
No, I'm not touching that situation.
Not at all. And that's exactly what this movie is.
Which brings me back to like an original idea I had about how the baby looks nothing like its fucking parents.
Yeah,
they're all dark hair, dark eyes. And this baby's blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah. Why are they so worried about that baby being gone? Because they stole it to begin with.
Like I said, I think that baby, that family rather, is in a crime syndicate.
Well, let's jump into the synopsis and the plot of the movie, the characters. But first, actually, I do want to share my personal connection to this movie. When I was a kid, I probably also watched this movie 100 times. When I would go to Blockbuster, every single time, I would pick two movies. I'd pick a movie I hadn't seen before and Baby's Day Out.
Oh, specific.
And I'm saying like coin flip, 50-50, half the time would just rent Baby's Day Out again.
Yeah.
And I never bought it. I never said, hey, mom and dad, I've rented this movie 40 times. Maybe we should just fucking own it. There was a thrill. The thrill of being able to rent Baby's Day Out. It's not a movie that you own. It's a movie that you experience.
I think Blockbuster maybe would have made it if they had made it so if you rented something over five times, you just kept it.
Blockbuster, it. For those of you who are listening.
It's a very old
store.
Also, Ned's baby is looking at me through a photo, and now I feel like the baby is involved in this podcast because that baby
Wesley's
is looking.
Day Out.
Wesley's Day Out.
where do we want to begin? First of all, the baby's name is Baby Bink.
Well, that's
Doesn't
what they
have
call
a real
him.
Name?
He does have a real name, and it's not Bink, but they call him Baby Bink.
Wasn't it I wrote it down. It was like Bennington.
Bennington.
Which, like, if that's not going to be a Trump later on in life.
Right.
That is a Trump name if I've ever heard one.
They got a lot of money.
What did they do?
Dad's in...
Pointed out at real any point stars? In time is real estate. Anytime somebody says real estate, they
clearly not baby watching, am I right?
I do love this era of movies, though. It's very specific to the early 90s where the 1% was fun on screen.
Right.
Because they have butlers. Yeah, Richie Rich. Mm. That's the only other one I can think of.
Blank check.
We're going to do that movie. But like they are not. Good people, and there's nothing that I should like them, but they have a butler, and I watch the movie and go, oh, what a cool family.
Not only a butler, but a nanny that is Sex and the City's Cynthia Nixon, aka Miranda, playing a straight British woman.
As broken if, woman.
Yeah, broken. Like, wished this baby. Maybe that baby was hers. I don't know. There's a story there.
It should be hers. She's the only one who actually cares about
the
baby.
She figured out the whole thing.
What a weird layer to add to that. Like, a nanny who's, like, closer with your baby than the mom is? Why did they put that arc in there?
Because the formula of his movies prior were that the parents were kind of negligent and that they at the end it works out. But, like, a baby can't have no one care about it. Like, it just can't. can't work.
No, that baby was independent. It didn't need anyone to care about it.
I know, but like we as viewers,
if it's independent baby,
we need to see someone loves the baby. Like I think for us to care about the family at all, because without that nanny, when that baby is stolen, you're like almost like, well, maybe this is going to lead to a better life for the baby.
Yeah.
No one cares about it. They're eating breakfast, presumably in another wing of the house.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they come back and they're just like, oh, my baby's gone. Jesus Christ.
The mom is just concerned with getting her baby in the paper. In the paper.
Yeah.
And it makes me think back to, like, you're talking about we liked these movies weirdly where it was like our parents were negligent, why did we care so much about it, but now it's making me realize why I loved the movie Man on Fire so much.
What?
Denzel Washington.
Uh-huh, go on.
Oh, where he just loved his child. Yes. And he would do anything for her.
Yes, like this is like the PG G version of Man on Fire. That ending, like if Cynthia Nixon would have jumped off the construction building to like dive catch the baby and save it and she went, that's something I think I would have been more involved in.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm in a weird mood.
I'm in a violent
mood today.
I would posit that the parents are the true villains of this movie, because for the first 25 minutes, they just establish how negligent they are. The father forgets to give a kiss goodbye to the baby. He forgets that he even has a baby.
Yeah.
We've already said Cynthia Nixon, who has the longest neck of any human I've ever seen in my life, knows the baby so much more than the woman does. Like the photographers, the villains come, and she's like, does my baby like that? Okay, she doesn't know anything about her child.
Yeah, she doesn't know anything about
baby. So I was raised by a nanny, fun fact. And if my parents have lost me many times. Okay. This is,
this movie hit too close to home.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I would get lost in a clothes rack. They tried to take me to a grocery store. See ya, I'm gone.
Yeah.
But like, if I was gone the way that this baby bank was gone from its nanny, I mean, the city would be set on fire by my nanny in order to find me. Like, we are bonded by like whatever is thicker than blood, because that first year of your life is the most influential, powerful relationship-forming year of your life, little did you know. It establishes your attachment style. It's all subconscious, baby. It comes back out later in life in your relationships. So Baby Bank is a serial killer when he's 16, for sure.
Let's see the fucking sequel. I want to see what that child became.
What would it be called? Baby's Day...
Murderer's Day Out. What do you mean? Of course.
Baby's Day Murdering.
Binks Rampage. Binks
Revenge.
So if I change this to call Bink.
Bink. With a period.
Yeah. Bink.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, favorite moments from the movie, Garrick, you said that this was a joyous watch for you.
Oh, I fucking loved it. I had, because it's, I don't know, I'm, every movie I usually love are like sci-fi super complicated movies, and this felt like the simplest like just stripped down thing, in the way that John Wick is like a very simple action movie. This is a very simple Rube Goldberg device of a film, where it's just like, okay, this is just a ball moving down and going to all different places or whatever, and it's just like, oh, now the ball is on a fucking domino case, or now it's on a little cart. Cool, this is nice. Now it's in a fucking zoo.
Did you love the game Mousetrap as a child?
I did.
This is Mousetrap the movie.
Yeah. You guys have 13 Dead End Drive? Nobody ever knows that game.
Wait, it does sound familiar.
It was a similar Rube Goldberg-esque, but it was like horror, and it was kind of like Clue meets Mousetrap, and like you could kill your opponents if they were like under the chandelier. If you rolled a thing, you could maybe hit a thing that would drop a literal chandelier toy onto your opponent.
Oh my God.
Sounds like what I wanted Mousetrap to be.
It was.
Yeah. No one ever, everyone always like lost the pieces for Mousetrap, so you can never fucking play the game. I've never played the game because no one had a complete board game.
Yeah, no, you play it once and then you lose everything.
For me, I gotta say, my favorite, this is the most talented baby I have ever seen in a movie ever. It has to be said.
I feel really dumb because I don't understand how they get babies to act. Because, like, I was like, this is an Oscar-worthy baby.
Yeah, like, baby was delivering.
But, like, how are they getting it to, like, cry on command?
The babies.
Yeah, the baby didn't tell us what its gender is.
The baby's so precocious. It turns around on cue. It giggles. It laughs at the hardships of its... This baby... Oh my God, this baby. This baby is just delivering a star-studded performance, anchoring a film.
Yeah,
that baby up against other baby acting I've seen. I don't know.
You don't think you're gonna
name a better baby?
You're gonna look me in the eyes and tell me that that was not some of the most exquisite baby acting backing you've ever seen?
No, I don't know. I just feel like I've seen better baby acting.
Name one.
I literally can't think of a single movie that had a baby in it. Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so Full House had the Olsen twins. They are some of the most famous baby actors.
They're not babies.
Yeah.
But they really shined at the 4 year old. You got it, dude.
But that's not a baby. This baby can't even fucking talk yet. This baby, how old do you think that baby is?
The baby can talk. He says he wants his boo boo. So,
which meant poop when I was like, a baby.
Really?
Yeah, you say, gotta go boo-boo.
Oh, I
remember.
What about you, Kelsey? Favorite part of this movie?
There's a part that no one, like, stops to think about, and this is gonna be, like, a hella deep cut for us, but you're telling me that wasn't Zay Frank as an actor? That guy is Zay Frank's fucking twin.
Which guy?
What do you mean, which guy? The only guy that looks identical to Zay Frank.
Oh, the one who actually looked like a Midwesterner. Because you've got these three guys that are clearly New Yorkers chasing this kid around Chicago.
Yes.
But one of them is broad-shouldered, kind of looks like a Zay Buzz Frank. Type character.
Yes.
I guess he kind of looked like
Zay. Miles, pull up them side to side, if you will. Because the holy fucking
shit. I did write down a note saying he was the only one who looked like someone from Chicago. Out of the cast of villains, because that's what a Chicagoan looks like right there. That's a very common Chicago guy.
But there's a part where Zay Frank says, when they're driving down the town in their crazy wild goose chase in their stolen van, where it's just a throwaway line, but he says, "You hit a cat." And no one says anything.
Nobody cares.
It's just a fucking throwaway line. And I was like, wait a minute. This guy went from being like, okay, he stole a truck. Okay, he's like borrowing a baby for ransom money. Fine. But you hit a fucking cat and you didn't even stop?
Yeah.
Well, it really made me go like, these guys are villains. Because at the end, they try and make you feel sad for them a little bit. Like, they're in the apartment with their hands up and they're like, oh, baby.
I mean, they got fucked by that baby.
There was a moment later in the movie because I was just like that one character, the Zay Frank type character. He's an idiot. He's a full dolt. He's only saying idiot things. And then like in the third act, the main bad guy is like, you're an idiot.
Are you kidding me? Look at this side by side.
You're not wrong. You're
not
wrong.
I'm on board.
There is a resemblance.
That is like also not a great picture of that guy in a fantastic picture. Those baby blues. Those
honestly, the fact that they're wearing the same outfit is really selling it. Even with the how open the shirt is, it's pretty spot on.
Okay, and to my second like favorite part that ties into why the cat line really flustered me is because there's a part where Baby Bank is lighting Ray Romano's dick on fire. And there's like cops questioning them, but the baby inside is apparently very large pants.
Yeah.
Lighting his dick on fire.
For
2 minutes straight. 2 minutes too long. And I'm like, first of all, how is this man walking around in jeans after this moment for the rest of the fucking movie? He's got third degree burns on his dick. First of all, second of all, someone had to have smelled burning pubic hair unless he shaves.
Or at least burning denim. At least anything.
Burning slacks, burning.
It is a long dick burning sequence for a family movie.
Ooh, long dick burning sequence just made me wet for the rest of
my God. Jesus.
But what is a dick burning sequence?
Because I don't know.
That is STD related.
But to be clear, this is a movie not only where a man's dick is lit on fire, but before that, a baby with a vice grip grabs his dick. How are we not going to talk about that?
Is it weird?
The baby grabs his dick and then the sounds go... Like he's manhandling that.
He punches the photographer as soon as he meets him in the dick.
But I cannot say this enough. A baby grabs a man's dick.
But it's not weird that way.
What are you talking about? It's super weird.
Babies grab shit.
Yeah,
that is not the most surprising thing to me. The baby operating a lighter is far that's more wild.
It's literally a man on
fire.
I couldn't
use a lighter until I was 12.
This movie wants to be Denzel Washington and Dakota, whatever her name is, Johnson's sister so bad. Man on Fire is the better version of this movie because there's no ransom notes written in cut out newspaper, which is another thing we need to stop doing.
Well, this was a 20-year-old movie.
I've been
25-year-old,
honestly.
Yeah, but like, why are ransom note movies so fucking good? Because they always get the kid back. They always get the kid back.
So let's dive into our three main characters. It's not really the movie about Baby Pink. It's about these robbers. Uh-huh. You've got Ray Romano.
You got Matrix guy, and you got Zay Frank.
Yeah.
Joe Mangiela. Like, these are the guys you'd be like, oh, that guy. They've just like, they've been in things. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that the performances in this movie are exquisite.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, I miss slapstick comedy where it's just like, oh, this guy got hit in the balls real hard and you can see it in his face.
So there's also like, I feel like the directors were like, guys, sometimes you get to just have fun. And coming off of the Mary Had a Little Lamb song is a 5-minute sequence of them just kind of getting nursery rhymes wrong. Yeah. And there's no reason for that scene to even be there,
right?
Let alone be them just standing in the kitchen saying, no, that's Little Red Riding Hood who ate the goose. No, he stuck his thumb in a pie and pulled out a boid.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's just nonsense.
Are those Chicago accents?
No, no. It's New York. They're New York thugs driving around the Chicago suburbs, and then they're in the city, and then they're in the suburbs again, and then they're in the city. Yeah.
Did this come out before or after Home Alone 2?
After.
This was after Home Alone 2.
After Home Alone 2?
Yeah.
At that point, you're just like,
this is a part of a three-movie deal from Fox following the success of the Home Alone franchise where they're like, look, you're cranking out hits. We're going to buy three movies from you. And Baby's Day Out was one of them.
And they were all big-budget movies. Mm-hmm. They all had $50 million dollar budgets, which was a lot.
And $25 million of that went towards the baby's insurance because...
did let that baby cross the road.
And this movie was a big flop.
This was?
Yeah.
Baby's Day Out was? Yeah.
So,
impossible. I watched it 100 times.
All three of his movies in this Fox deal were huge failures.
Yeah.
And I think... part of it is because they were Fox like pictures and they were not like, so some of it's shot in Chicago, right? But some of it's clearly on a lot.
I would say almost all of it's on a soundstage.
Some of it's in Chicago. Some of the exteriors are in Chicago. I can recognize Chicago. Uh-huh. Like, that's Chicago. But so much of it is on a lot. And the charm of his movies before were that he was like making them in Chicago and he was like actually using like local talent. He like, if you watch the movies that made us, that Netflix show, they do a Home Alone one, and it's incredible how they gutted this school, how they built a house in the old swimming pool so they could flood the basement. Like, there's just so many cool things that they have done. And then he bought this and it kind of took away all the magic of his filmmaking. And I think that's one of the reasons it led to some flaps.
Other weird thing is that there is a scene where they're driving the van and they're chasing the baby in a taxi.
Oh my God, this moment.
And the baby gets out of the taxi and they're just like, okay, cool.
They don't know that,
they don't
though.
Know that the baby's, they don't know that the baby's out of the taxi, but the audience is like, good, the baby's out of the taxi. They careen into the back of the taxi at like 60 miles an hour, thinking that this baby's still in there. The baby lives.
Now they're murderers.
They're murderers.
The way that I screamed,
they were ready to kill that baby.
Yeah, what the fuck? Oh, that brings up a good point that I forgot to say.
Yeah.
Did they ever explain why these guys needed that money?
No, I think they were just robbers.
But like, you have to have a reason.
Well, they said that we're not doing like stores anymore. This is that we're going to do a big break. I think it was so they didn't have to do anymore.
Yeah.
I think they were going to pull one big crime and they're done. If they can get $5 million.
This is the Ocean's 11.
We have to talk about that scene where the goop falls on the guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of goop. You got to be more specific.
Which goop? The cement goop?
Yes. The cement goop.
Okay.
It is the scene where...
this is the climax of the movie. They're on a construction site. A baby gets lifted up on a girder, at which point I fully screamed.
That whole scene genuinely made my life...
like, where the fuck is CPS?
My loins tingle in a weird way where I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is too high.
That baby's flying like a bag in the wind. But he like knocks this goop over.
This is the Ray Romano.
He knocks goop onto Ray Romano. And it's like... pink.
That's not like the cement goop. Yeah, you're right. There is some sort of just literal slime.
It looks like
pink
chicken
slime.
Nugget McDonald's pink slime.
It does.
Where I'm like, what are they using this for? What kind of building are they building? Squand?
I have to assume it's supposed to be like a floor wax. That's the only thing it could possibly
be. No floors.
Not yet. But I don't think they're planning on pouring it yet. But the baby had different plans.
Drenched
not only
in
that,
pink goop.
The
not
Save Raymond. Frank guy in that
not
sequence.
Not Save Frank. Matrix guy.
He at some point is on like a furniture dolly and completely oblivious that his body is moving 15 miles an hour toward the end of this guy. Like, what? Huh? How do you not know you're moving? Yeah. He's like,
he's dumb.
Where am I?
The construction scene was another scene where I briefly closed my eyes and awoke, and it was still happening. And I'm like, I feel refreshed. Therefore, this has gone on too long.
It is certainly the longest sequence.
Well, so both the two big set pieces of this movie, the gorilla cage and the construction zone, they're burned into my memory from childhood. And I now realize it's because they're both 30 minutes long.
Yes.
They are so... But I honestly, I'm going to give the movie some credit here. It fully exploits its set pieces, unlike any movie I think I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. They mine every ounce of comedy possible.
Like in the zoo scene where they're just like, all right, I'm going to try. Okay, no, I'm going to try. It's just like, Doug, two other people just got almost murdered by this gorilla. You should stop and just wait for maybe the baby...
I'll do it.
Yeah, I got it.
And like, is there also some sort of message that animals trust like innocent, naive babies more than the like fully actualized adult? Like, is there some sort of vengeance that the monkey has towards the human for caging it?
Yeah, well, if it's like a female gorilla, they'll see any type of like small infantile thing and like,
take care
it's
of
like,
it.
It's like how you could bring your kittens to a pregnant dog. Right. And a pregnant dog would be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
And just mine. I'll take care of it.
Like let the kitten, you know, get some milk or some
shit. Have some milk, I guess.
Yeah. Does the gorilla get out? I forget.
The baby should have let the gorilla out, and then the gorilla should have been in the fucking climax climbing up.
Right.
No, he should have just like, if there should have been one last shot, like, well, at least we're fine. And they turn around, the gorilla's like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
A really funny thing that really just doesn't really make sense is that they're like
the entire movie.
Well, that there's a newspaper that comes out in that town at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh no!
With the news from that
day. Because she's like, he's in the paper. It's like, no, papers don't just come out every hour.
You're right.
And in today's day and age, yes, he could have been in a story online.
Yeah, right.
But there would not be a newspaper that comes out mid-afternoon saying baby's missing on the front page.
Yeah.
Like they have no other stories yet.
Also, I was so upset that the baby appeared on national television and nobody saw that there was a child right there, like just walking around. It's just like, oh,
this was the point where I just like my eyes rolled in the back of my head and like just like full annoyance because there was a news reporter reporting about a missing baby. She, what she thinks is like drops her microphone, but it's really the baby pulls the cord.
Yeah.
And she bends down while
staring.
Still maintaining eye contact with the camera.
Like,
but the cameraman pans down.
Right.
The cameraman
was just like, oh shit, there's a baby right there. Hey,
yeah.
Maybe that's that baby. The baby.
That's probably the baby.
Okay, or if not, maybe it's a baby in the city that should be attended to.
Yeah, that camera guy might have been in on it.
Yeah.
A small detail. So we're taking a lot of time to point out things that they did wrong, couldn't have happened. I want to say, these robbers, when they show up and they set up the photography lighting for the baby, the lights are set up very well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I want to say these idiots actually set the lights up correctly from what I can tell.
I do love that scene though when like he's dressed up as the French photographer with the mustache. It's good.
That's a good accent.
The movie's wacky and I respect how
Yeah, that makes you like suspended disbelief. It's just like, it's a cartoon of a movie.
It's not a cartoon.
Yeah. We need to stop taking this seriously. Mm-hmm. When I saw that nobody looked down.
Like, this is animated, might have not been that crazy because like crazy shit in animation happens all the time. But this is like a practical effect.
Yeah, and that's why I think action. It is fun and probably appealed to us as kids is because it's got great practical effects. It's very understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It occupies your time for 2 hours, it feels like. So your God. Parents probably love that you're watching this 100 years long movie in the living
fucking
room.
Right?
Right.
And it is closer to like a Bugs Bunny cartoon than it is any other live action movie.
Right. Yeah. The whole time you're just like, how the fuck is he getting away with this? But he just keeps on getting away with it. And you're just like, all right.
It's Mr. Magoo.
It's the same
He's oblivious to the danger everywhere.
Right. And then the baby turns around and goes,
heh
heh. Every time.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of more things that they got right, because I walked into this feeling so in love with it, like so nostalgic. We're like, just like, oh my God, VHS was like burnt out with how many times we watched this fucking movie. And maybe it's my attitude today, but like the more we talk about it, the more I'm falling into the trap of like, is it a good movie? What constitutes a good movie every time we judge something, right? Like, is act one, act two, act three, do we have that? Or is it like act one, the end? Like, is it a good movie?
I think there's at least two acts.
Yeah.
At least?
I think there's an act one, an act two, and a better act two.
Yeah.
I think that is probably more correct. There's no twists in act three.
There's no twist.
There's no like, what should have happened is another baby robber should have tried to rob the baby from them and also had some comeuppance.
Yeah.
And then they were kind of against each other. Uh-huh. And then they both
That would have been a third act thing. Or we reveal that the dad owns the skyscraper that is being built, and that's how they have their wealth, and his lack of code and like building to code and keeping things safe on the construction site ultimately leads to the death of his own child.
See, that's like, that's the Trump version. It's like a Trump tower being built.
Yeah.
It's one of the sons that he doesn't fucking pay attention to. Uh-huh. They would pull a ransom because Trump. That is something I would watch today.
Well, this makes me curious. Every week we have our very own Garrick Bernard, professional screenwriter extraordinaire, offer one fix for a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Garrick, what is your one fix?
My one fix is absolutely nothing. It's a perfect movie. It's a perfect
movie. Just make the parents not awful. There's no reason to set up the parents
that's
so
the
bad.
Arc, Keith.
Yeah.
But no, they don't deserve their baby back.
They don't.
Like, why were the parents so awful?
Right.
They could be a little shallow.
The mom had a lot of guilt. Remember that moment where she walks into a random person's apartment and, like, thinks
it's
her baby?
That's what I want to talk about.
Right.
This scene is fucking bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the B story, the parents are trying to find their baby. They barge into this woman's house, which is absolutely illegal.
Yeah, for sure.
They push their way in
out of nowhere. Like, why did they think the baby's there?
There's some guy.
There's a guy.
Says, I saw
remember?
Baby.
Okay.
Blah, blah,
but he actually just... that actually was helpful information, even though he exploited the guy for money to give a tip. He did have a tip. Listen, that's how it works.
Yeah, a tip. Gotta get paid.
It's the lower class sticking it to the man.
But it's this scene that is hardcore poverty porn, where the woman goes, "These kids, they're all I've got." And like we as an audience are supposed to be like, oh, see, money isn't everything because this woman has nothing, but she has love. And then she says, I wrote this down because I screamed and ran around my room. She says, "I believe in my heart, someone somewhere watches over the babies."
Which,
which I'm like, wait a fucking second.
Yeah.
In the logic of this movie, is baby Bink evading harm because some angels are watching over him? How much cocaine were you on, John Hughes?
That is weird to say. It's like a safety net, the same way like when dogs die in movies. It's like all dogs go to heaven. Which just reminds me about how they hit that cat with their car and no one fucking said, nothing happened for that cat. No justice for that cat. Justice for the cats? Who's watching over the cats? But there's got to be like a safety net, right? Of like someone somewhere out there is watching over the babies, right? Mm. It's a safety net in case something bad does happen to the baby. It's like all babies go to heaven, right?
One other favorite moment, not Ray Romano, when they're trying to find the baby in the zoo, goes, "Babies, they're more dangerous than we thought." And then he looks down and he goes, "Baby tracks." It is just so remarkable.
There's some really good jokes in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm realizing how little I was paying attention to this movie because I was just so enamored by the fact that I was just like, I'm transported. You know, I just love this fucking dumb movie.
I think if you could watch this movie in 1.5 times speed.
Oh, I'd be so happy.
And it was your first time watching it. It's a perfect film.
Yeah. Because like, honestly, I didn't pay attention to the first like 30 minutes of the movie because I was just like,
so
all right,
lucky.
I'm just going to set up. They're just setting up the fact that this baby's going to be gone. Cool.
Guys, I've got some burning questions about this movie.
Hell yeah.
And it is not a UTI.
Burn them up.
Okay, my first question is, do we think that was the baby talking, or was there some adult who had to ADR a bunch of giggles?
No, they ADR'd a bunch of babies.
You think they had a baby recording sesh?
They had a baby room where things were sparkling, jiggling, and dangling, and they just like cycled babies in and out of it, and then they recorded it.
This one's a real potential deep fucking cut. Okay, so in the first scene when you see the baby's room, there is a giant, terrifying porcelain statue of a white rabbit from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh.
And it's like, I mean, I noticed it because like the baby's on Cynthia Nixon's lap with her incredible long neck. Mm-hmm. And there's this like life size, the size of a human man, terrifying statue. Then later in the movie, at the zoo, they go, he went down the rabbit hole. Yeah. And they look at each other with meaning. It's not a rabbit hole. It's a drain pipe. So does this movie think
it's
an Alice in Wonderland allegory? Because if so, again, I will ask, how much cocaine was John Hughes taking?
Well, let's go down this rabbit hole, because part of Alice in Wonderland is that at one point she gets tiny and everything else is big. Babies are tiny and everything else is big to them.
Feels like an acid trip.
So perhaps there's a
villain.
Alice, she typically evades danger all the time. Yeah. And people are trying to kill her all the time. She meets mystical, wonderful things that love her. The caterpillar.
Same
the
beat
gorilla.
Over and over again. Yeah. Of her like getting out
of it. It is kind of the same thing over and over again.
It feels like the remnants of the original like pitch deck or pitch line or whatever.
Line,
I'm sorry.
Right, yeah.
Where they're just like,
you're a writer, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the shit. But it's just like, oh yeah, this is, what if it was Alice in Wonderland, but in Chicago?
And a baby.
I will say that what I got out of the baby's room, that it looked a lot like the bedroom in Peter Pan. It just evoked childhood fantasy movie bedroom.
Yeah. I don't think I remember anything about the baby's room except for that scene where Cynthia Nixon is aggressively powdering his ass for a photo shoot.
Also, it does the makeup on the booty.
I couldn't. Oh, I don't know that I'd ever seen like a baby's butt in a movie.
It
was shocking.
She powders it with a makeup brush.
Uh-huh. Well, you know why? Baby Bink is no ordinary baby.
Ew. Why?
Oh, you know what? Another thing. So on the second viewing, because I watched it twice in the last month.
Sorry, Keith.
When they rush back in to the room to discover the baby's gone, there's a new, like, older maid who's just there.
Yeah.
And that's the only scene she's in the entire movie.
I think they were just trying to stunt that they have staff. Yeah, they're just like, we got staff.
It was just like, there's just one other lady coming. It was like, that lady, where'd she come from? No. And then she gone forever. It's just, she's like, probably she was just like the director's cousin or aunt or somebody's aunt. Like, can you throw her in a scene?
Yeah, you guys want some fun facts?
Yeah! My favorite part.
Okay. So, as Keith pointed out, this movie had a whopping $50 million budget, which was unheard of at the time for a movie with no major leading stars in its cast.
Ray Romano?
I'm gonna
Ray Romano was in it. I don't know if you know this. Ray
Show
Romano.
Some respect on Joe Manganiello's, however you say his name's name. He's a guy.
Yeah. He was a guy.
Okay, there was a plan for a sequel, as hinted at the end of the movie, called Baby's Trip to China.
Oh, yeah!
Now is the time to make the movie.
I just need to say, on behalf of the world, thank God that movie did not happen, because it certainly would have been
the most racist movie. Yeah.
Which is, what the fuck were they thinking with that?
Can you imagine? It was 94.
Yeah.
It was 1994. I know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
We can do whatever the fuck we want. We can make a whole fucking $50 million movie about a baby.
But like,
fuck, stop me, why don't you?
But I have a question. Did Baby's Day Out highlight the best parts of Chicago.
So, it was barely in Chicago.
The only thing that is iconic to Chicago that's in that is the zoo, which that wasn't the real zoo, I don't think. And the building that the dudes are hiding in the top, that sort of triangular shaped building, that's a real building. There's no way criminals can afford that top suite of it.
Right.
Well, yeah, that is an iconic building. But I'm saying like that corner building that they're in, like that is...
There's one in New York.
That's a building. Yeah, and there's one in New York, too. Yeah, there's those are cool buildings.
It's more famous in New York.
It is more famous in New York. Yes, absolutely.
Full circle houses all the assassins.
Chicago's got one. And it's cool, too. Oh, you know what made me fucking mad as a Chicagoan before we get there? Is that they were using Illinois sheriff police cars.
Oh.
Not in a fucking chance would you not use a CPD car. Every John Hughes film in Chicago, use the Chicago police officer's car. They're iconic. They're beautiful. They're in Blues Brothers. They're in all these movies always. You would never have the Illinois sheriff as
Why'd
your main police car. Because they were using a generic sheriff police car on the Fox lot. That's why they did it, because they didn't want to bother using the fucking details that would make a Chicagoan excited. Yeah. And that would have been it. So to watch any Chicago movie from the 80s and 90s, always has the same car.
I think they were hoping in that scene that we'd be too distracted by a grown man having his dick lit on fire. Yeah, maybe. Also, that scene had the janitor from Scrubs. That was exciting.
Yeah. Literally one of the, he has the longest streak of work. Like where he's just like been consistently
an actor. I love actors like that who like are just in everything, but they're not like gloaty about it, and they're not like overly good looking. No offense.
Ray Romano.
Ray Romano.
Another fun fact: Vern Troyer, aka Mini-Me from the Austin Powers movies.
No, he's not the Mini-Me.
Absolutely, he was.
An uncredited stunt double during the construction site scene.
Of course he was. There's no way you could put a real baby on those beams.
I thought that the baby wasn't even on beam. I thought it was just like green screen or something.
They didn't have the technology in 93 when they were producing it.
And I want to say, like, genuinely, seriously, I am glad that he was able to have real roles later in his life as opposed to playing a fucking baby stunt double. Like, now, this is exciting. I have a video clip for us because famed movie reviewers Siskel and Ebert actually got into one of their biggest fights ever over this movie.
As they should have.
And I'm not going to say anything more. I'm just going to play it for us.
Baby's day out is your kids, little kids, next best choice.
Well, this is fascinating, Gene, because you've just defended this film on exactly the same grounds that I used for The Shadow. You like the art direction, you like the look, you like the old-fashioned
and other
feel,
things.
You like the tone. Well, hated this movie more than any other movie on this show, and I'm really surprised at you. You should be ashamed of yourself.
For not agreeing with you? I've never been ashamed of that. I've been proud of that.
Going on.
Here's another star for your lapel.
Okay.
This movie is not funny. It's way too long. The burglars, who are recycled right out of Home Alone are really awkwardly written, awkwardly played, and they're not funny at all. The fact, of course, this whole movie is obviously inspired by Baby Herman, the sequence at the beginning of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's funny in a cartoon because it's not real. If you think that a real baby crawling through traffic and crawling out on it, look, you're already smiling. You think that's funny. I didn't think it was funny.
You think that's funny?
I thought it was an absolute perfect child's eye view of the fantasies that they might have. And little kids, this is where I think you're off by a lot, little kids will really have their hearts in their throats as they watch this thing and will be tickled and will be absolutely tickled by the way the baby survives.
Aggressively saying the word
tickled. It's appropriate for little kids. I can remember three and a half years old, I went to see a movie where Mickey Rooney was standing on a ledge outside a window. It was a comedy. Everybody was laughing. I was terrified. I think a little child who sees this baby about to fall off of tall buildings and be crushed by big cars isn't going to know what's funny.
Oh, you know, I better go back and find out who attended that sneak preview. I saw all those children are in dear jeopardy of becoming
Roger Ebert. The same screening.
Somebody was doing something behind the scenes that
day. They were clearly not happy with each other.
Yeah. Ebert told Siskel that he should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
That this movie was violent and terrifying.
All right.
It is a wonderful
That's just a bit dramatic on whatever the other guy's name was.
Well, Keith, this has been a blast to talk about our new favorite movie.
This is very fun, and I'm glad that we all came in here with things that we liked and things we didn't like, because I was like, I'm not ready to defend this movie. I think there's problems with it, but I do think it is a source of joy, and it was a huge source of joy to me as a child. So I'm glad that when I watched it for the first time in a long time, I liked it. I was sad to find out when I watched watched it again in the same month, I'm like, this movie's boring.
Well, that just means that Ropert was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was basing it off of the fact that
Ropert's not in that video.
I mean, I'm sorry. Ebert.
Fuck Ropert.
But,
what does Ropert
Ebert
say
Ropert,
about it?
Anyway, the one with glasses, he's wrong, because he was basing the fact that, like, babies wouldn't like this movie, so that's why this movie is bad.
Yeah.
Babies
kids wouldn't like this movie.
Kids love it.
Kids love the movie.
Yeah.
So he's...
Suck it, Ebert.
Kids know it's not real. Jesus.
So, Keith, this is your moment. The floor is yours. Do you think people should watch this movie, and why? Convince the world.
If you are someone who likes Home Alone, you 100% should watch this movie. It is the closest thing we have to an actual Home Alone sequel that's good, other than Home Alone 2, which is also good. But all the other Home Alones that have been made suck. And this, I think, does capture the spirit of fun. It is nonsense. It is a cartoonish film. It is a good time. Your children will love it. And if nothing else, that baby's cute as fuck. That baby is so cute all the time. The jokes are ridiculous. The practical effects are awesome. We don't have those anymore. I mean, the amount of times men fall into dumpsters alone is worth watching. I think it's a blast. I don't think it's something you should watch every week.
Kelsey, what do you think?
If you like Man on Fire and King Kong, do not watch this movie, because this will not live up to your dirty money ransom movie wishes. But if you like the word zoinks, watch it.
Yeah.
I think it's a guilty pleasure. It's a guilty pleasure for sure.
This movie was one of my truest guilty pleasures as a kid. But as an adult, I would say this movie is shocking. It is kind of like, it is consistently terrifying to watch this baby in peril, to the point that I don't know that all adults could handle it.
Get your Xanax ready.
If you've just had a baby, you shouldn't watch it.
It's really scary. Yeah. And it is, you will scream more than any Paranormal Activity movie. This movie is crazy. But if you haven't seen it, your heart needs it. And I'll leave you with just this thought to wonder, what if the baby had read another book?
China.
What if the baby had read a book about trucks? Then it would have been a Fast and Furious movie. Oh.
Thank God we found a way to bring Fast and Furious into every episode.
We never will stop. I think that this movie is perfect. I think that if you are watching it for the first time, you'll love the movie, because it's just a simple, dumb thing that you can just turn your mind off and just watch it. Like, I've taken like a page or a page and a half of notes of all the other movies that we've watched. This one, I put my phone down and I just watched it, because I was like, oh, this is just nice. This is like I equated to Wall-E, where Wall-E, the first half of the movie, no talking at all. Nothing, doesn't matter. There's barely any speaking. This movie, like, midway through, there's barely any dialogue. You don't need it, because it's just like, oh, I'm trying to catch this baby. Cool. That's all you need. They're like, it's point A to point B, film.
Specifically, you know what holiday movie this is? This is a Thanksgiving Day movie.
Yes.
There's cooking going on. There's people arriving.
You don't really need to pay attention. You can just put your...
Oh, shit, it's the gorilla scene. Everybody kind of watches it for a minute, like, oh, that's... Oh, I love that's this movie. Yeah. And everybody gets back to their business, roasting nuts.
Dude, that's so... You are right.
Yeah, you're on the money. Yeah. You can always pick up wherever you're watching it and be like, I get where we are.
Yeah.
I think we're all now on board. Yeah. This is the best movie ever made.
It's the best movie ever made.
The best Thanksgiving Day Macy's Parade movie ever made.
Yeah, yes. After the parade, you throw on Baby's Day Out.
Well, Keith, we have to let you go. Thanks for joining us. Where can the people find you? Got anything to plug?
Oh, check out at Keith Habs on the internet. But, you know, get some hot sauce, especially, you know, if your dad's birthday's coming up. It's hard to buy for dads, right? You know what dad's like? Sauce.
You know
get
what?
Get him some hot sauce.
I love it. I have it in my house.
Which one do you have?
Both.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I have the chicken and the burger. Thank you so much.
I think the burger sauce is better.
I shattered the burger sauce when I was driving my RV, And I was so upset, not because it ruined the floors.
Yeah, it's vinegar.
But because I didn't have any sauce, so I bought more.
Oh,
it's really
awesome.
Good.
Thanks.
By yeah, the burger, one.
Burger sauce is really good. The chicken sauce is also good, but the burger sauce, I think, is more versatile.
It is.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why.
Let's talk about my hot sauce for about 30 minutes.
Garrick, where can they find you?
Garrick Bernard on the socials.
I'm Kelsey Dara.
@CornDiddy. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.